I know that song's been out for a while, but it's one of my favorite, and I always use it as an example that there are some new songs that are good, and that's one of the best ones that have come out in a long time. And so appreciate Brother Randy. He knows that's my favorite, and that was awesome. Been a while. Well, we want to take the first few minutes here and kind of, most of you should, do we have the booklets out? Yes? And I'm not going to go through the booklet this year. You can take it home. And some of you have booklets. Some of you don't. If not, you could go look at the one from last year. There's some things different. But you can get one after church because we're not going to go through it. But it kind of gives you an idea of the various ministries and what goes on. It takes a lot of volunteers. And I so appreciate the many who volunteer to help this church function and to do the work of the ministry. And what a blessing. Before we get started, it's good to see Brother Prady with us tonight. Miss Lena and that other guy that's with him we like to pick on. And Miss Lena, of course, we prayed for her, you know, a few weeks back. How long has it been now? Time flies. And you had the surgery. June. And then she had such complications with the knee surgery and very bad complications. And we're so glad that God's just healing her and she's on the road recovering. They're going back to Honduras next week. And so in case you don't know, I know we have some new families, but the Brother Miss Prady in Honduras, our missionaries there, and this is the missionaries that we went and saw and went down. We took 25 people last summer down and spent 8 or 9 days and just had a great time and worked hard, but also just had a great time and just exciting the ministry to see it on the foreign field. We took 15 teenagers and 10 adults, and so we're looking forward to taking another mission trip this next summer. And so Brother Ladd is working on it. Put a little pressure on him. He's working on it. We're trying to do one every other year. That's what we're trying to do. And then do mission trip, ski trip every other year. So, All right. Back to our normal programming. So what we're going to do tonight is kind of just put up the needs list rather than going through the booklet. And then we'll talk about a few things. So the first one, are you ready? The first one is bereavement. And the bereavement is basically, the team there is basically just helping with if there's a funeral and we need food. And sometimes if there's a person who's sick or whatever, we need to provide food for. But most of the classes take care of the preparing and taking food to their class members who get sick or, you know, a lady has a child or all those things. But sometimes maybe there's a church member who's not in a class, and so this group helps with that. So if you're not on that, and Miss Bobby handled it for years, and she's just physically unable to do that now, and she still helps, but just unable to lead that particular ministry. And so we just want to make sure, I guess there is a sign-up list for that, Miss Donya. So if you're interested in that, on one of the tables back in the back, you can sign up for the bereavement. Ladies, I guess men could sign up as well if you cook good. Anyway, ladies, if you like that. And what it is, we just call, someone would call you and say, hey, we're having a funeral, such and such. Here's the time and what we need you to bring and so forth. The church always supplies the meat. All right, bookstore, Miss Carla handles this and needed one helper to help after the PM service. And so, Miss Carla, kind of raise your hand, Miss Carla. And so if you would like to be that helper, let her know. Or I guess there's a sign-up list on that. So choir, we can always use more faithful choir members. Practice every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. and then 5 to 5:40 p.m. I understand there was a new member today, and I won't put her on the spot. But it's a good place, you know, to serve and to be a part. If you can sing and God's giving you that talent, I just tell you, you ought to be in the choir. I mean, if you have that ability, God gave it to you. And so you ought to be singing for the Lord. Children's Church, ladies to do missionary story for 4th through 6th graders for 5 weeks at a time. These will need to be ladies who are not already obligated. You understand that. So just, if you're here and you say, hey, I'd like to help, here's a great area for you to help in reading the missionary story on Sunday mornings. And then you would rotate off. Rotate off of that. And then another 5 weeks or so, you'd come back. Man to preach in the 1st through 3rd graders on a monthly rotation. Most of our obligations in Children's Church are all on a rotation basis. So if you get involved there, you can jump into children's church and help anytime, just as a helper, and just help keeping kids sequestered and in their individual cell blocks. So I shouldn't have said that publicly. No, I'm just kidding. That's not for real on the live streaming. But we do need the help. So that's an area, and you would rotate in. I don't know exactly how many. It's like probably once a month, and rotate in and help there. So local outreach, everyone's encouraged to come out for the organized outreach efforts on Tuesdays, Tuesday morning. This is a great way to especially visit shut-ins and those in the hospitals and in the mornings. And then 7 p.m. and on Tuesday nights and 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. And if you've said, well, I've never done that before, we'll send you out with somebody who has, and you won't even have to talk. You just be there to help and learn and just encourage. Like I said, we had our soul winning kickoff this last week and just had a great crowd, and just want to encourage you in that way. Just come out and be a part. And then master clubs, we need about more blank full-time workers and more blank substitute workers, and I know they need both. So at Wednesday night program, if you are interested in helping with master clubs, that runs children 3 years old to sixth grade, and I know they could use some help. So I appreciate some of our newer members have jumped in, and encourage those of you who haven't jumped. That's a good place to jump in as well. Nursery workers, we can always use nursery workers. If you're 16 years or older and you're a lady, you can get involved in the, and you can pass a background check, and you can be a part of the nursery. And so encourage all of our ladies. I hope that you would be involved, and it's on a rotation basis. Nursing home, we need anyone willing to lead Bible studies and church services, instrumentalists, special singers, anyone during to visit and be an encouragement. So here's an opportunity if you want to help in the nursing homes, and Brother Dill's kind of taking up that and doing some of those things. I know Brother Wiggins has, and Brother Schuler has. Many have helped and been a part of this ministry. It's a great ministry. It's an opportunity to be a real blessing. So there's another ministry you can jump into. Puppet ministry, this is during the Sunday morning service. And so, again, volunteering to be in a rotation basis there. And then safety team, this is Brother McKinney leads this. And so he's ready to go for the football game here in a minute. And we always need more volunteers. If you are a man and you would like to walk around, was that sexist at all? But it needs to be a man. If you would like to volunteer to walk around and just look and observe, I mean, and keep a lookout. I mean, that's the day and age which we live in. And so we have people walking around, and it's a very, very much a need. Sunday school, we need people who are willing to substitute teach. I know I've talked to, like, Brother Clovis and some others. If you're willing to substitute teach, we need to put you on the list. We kind of lost, anyway, if you would like to substitute teach in Sunday school, please sign up so we'll know, and we can get you in there. We really would like to stop combining classes, even in younger kids' classes in Sunday school, and using substitute teachers, and that's a good way for others to learn and so forth. So we're really going to try hard in this fall not to do those things, okay? All right, tech team. What's that team back there, y'all? They're all right. We need capable people who are capable people. We need people who are willing to learn the sound. It really is soundboard and are the uplink ministry side, serving on a regular basis or rotation basis. So, the soundboard is one area, and then the live streaming video is another area. And sometimes it takes three people to run the booth back there. And so really, really, you're in the service, but you'll find out when you're back there working it, you don't get to listen as good. It's just not the same. And so it's great to have that rotation where you can people can be in the service. They're in the service, but they're not in the service. I'm making them, yeah. Ushers and greeters, we need more core and alternate ushers. And Brother Hokett runs that. And so you could sign up and say, hey, I want to be an usher. Or you say, hey, I just want to sign up and be an alternate. You can call on me when you need to and be an usher. Welcome center, we need kind, friendly, and caring adults. Are always welcome to assist in ministry. And this is frontline ministry. In other words, some of the first impressions are going to be made when people come in and at that welcome center. So this would be an area that you can get involved in. I encourage you to do so. We need more help with that. In yard building and maintenance, if you are in a position where you have some time during the week and you say, what am I going to do with my time this week? And you rub your chin like this, then it may be a good opportunity for you to come down and help with buildings and yard. It's a lot keeping up with 17 acres. And, you know, I think we're close to like 55,000 square feet of buildings and, you know, the ball field and all these things. And Brother Chad does a good job, but he would love to have help. And so at times we've had members come up and help with mowing. I'll never forget Brother Tim years ago, back before we had anybody, Brother Tim came up and mowed and mowed and mowed. And I've done a lot of mowing, and then that other guy used to do a lot of mowing. Summers. Yeah, Brother Darrell did, but Brother Summers did it volunteer. But Kurt Summers, and we miss him because he, yeah. We miss you, Brother Kurt. Miss Edna. Come back. I want people to stop retiring, moving away. You're not allowed to do that. All right. We need volunteers to host team hangouts. So if you have a big enough house to handle 45 people, and you'd be surprised, the teams don't take up near as much space. And it's a lot of fun. So I encourage, if that's an area, a good outreach for you, a good outlet to help Brother Latta with hosting one of those events. And feeding those bunch of hungry teenagers, it is a lot of fun. So there's some areas you can get involved in. And there's other areas. You can look through the booklet, and you'll find areas that you can get involved in and be a part on. Look, on page 2, and I'm going to cover it briefly, the steps for a serving Christian. Steps for a serving Christian, I cover this same outline every year. If in order to serve here at Heritage, you need to be saved. I hope tonight you know Jesus as your Savior, and so you need to know Jesus Christ. And from them, be growing in the Lord. And then number 2 is you need to be a member of the church in order to serve. Now, in order to serve in the church doesn't mean you can't pass out flyers. And we've had several, and one of them's joined the church since then, but passed out a lot of flyers before they even joined the church. And so, but if you're going to be involved in Sunday school or be a part of the nursery or any ministry, and you need to join and be a part of the church. Number 3, consistent. And I just encourage you, if you are serving and are wanting to serve, be consistent in your Bible reading and prayer time and church attendance and being a part of that. It's one thing to serve somewhere. It's another thing to, you know, come in on Sunday night and your master club class ask where you're at, or your Sunday school class ask where you're at. And so you need to be consistent in your attendance and be... and be here. Number 4, consider where you fit in. And there's a way, we used to pass out, and we did last year, the spiritual gift tests, and we're encouraging you now to go to a website, and it's in the bulletin. It's called spiritualgifttest.com. And as I said, there's a couple of doctrinal issues here, but very minimal, and the test is really, really thorough. And it only takes about, what did you say, Brother Latta? About 10 minutes, and I think it'd be worthy of your time just to go there and go through that. So I'd encourage you to do that. Consider where you fit in. You say, well, I don't know where I fit in. Well, come see myself or Brother Wiggins, and we'd love to help you and direct you as to where to serve. And some of the best places to jump in and get started is Children's Church or something like that, that you're rotating in and kind of getting a feel of a ministry, and then you can say, hey, I want to get more involved. And Master Club the same way. You can say, well, I'm going to serve the Master Club for 12, 13 weeks, whatever it is, for that fall semester. And then you get a break, like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks over Christmas. And then you're back for another semester. And no summer. So that's an area that you might want to serve in. So these are areas you could certainly jump in and get going. All right, commit. I always encourage you, if you're going to commit, jump in with both feet. Get going. See the difference that you can make in being a part of that. By the way, people's lives can be changed forever. I used Juan this morning as an example, and I think of so many others whose lives have just been changed because someone reached out and someone was ministering to them. And then continue, and that is, don't let something prevent you from serving. And I'm telling you, there's all sorts of things the devil will put in your way to keep you from getting to that ministry or try to discourage you from continuing in ministry. And so I just encourage you, remember that. We have an enemy, and he hates what we're doing. And he hates that you come out on visitation. And he hates that you're teaching that class, and he hates it. And he hates that you're teaching little boys and girls and about the Lord Jesus and the gospel. So he's going to do anything he can to try to discourage you. And it may not, you know, maybe even a job that you take on a Sunday rather than trying to find one that's not. Or it could be someone hurts your feelings, or, you know, whatever it may be. Don't let the devil have the victory in that area, and continue to serve and be a part of the ministries. All right. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, somewhere in the Bible. First Corinthians 16, and I see the time. I'm going to let you out on time tonight, I promise. 1 Corinthians 16. Why do we serve? Hudson Taylor said this. Hudson Taylor was speaking with, by the way, Hudson Taylor, again, missionary to China. Hudson Taylor was speaking with some young men who had volunteered for the mission field. He asked each one of them, "Why do you wish to be a foreign missionary?" The first one replied, "I want to go because Christ has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Another said, "I want to go because millions are perishing without Christ and not having heard the one name whereby the lost may be saved." The others gave various answers and similar answers to the first young man. Hudson Taylor then replied, "All these motives, however good, will fail you in times of testings, trials, tribulations, and possibly death." Everybody get that? We preach a lot about the Great Commission, and it is our purpose to reach everyone with the gospel. And it is a command. It's not an option, right? The Lord's our general, and we should do it. But if that is your motivation as a Christian, then you're in a world of hurt. He went on to say, there's but one motive which will sustain you in trials and testing. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." It's the love of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Somebody familiar with this verse at all? This is our theme verse one year, been a few years back. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong." But look at that verse 14. "Let all your things be done with what?" With what? Charity. Charity means love in action. "Let all your serving be done with love." Let everything you do be done with love. What is your motive for serving? What is our motive for serving? Well, it should be love. And as it says there in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it's the love of Christ that constraineth us. That word constraineth means to hold together. That is to compress. It's kind of like this. It constraineth us. It constraineth us. 1 Corinthians 16 again. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Let all things be done with charity." Here's a good outline. I didn't use this one last. It says, "Watch ye," that means wake up. "Stand fast in the faith," stand up. "Quit ye like men," grow up. Like that one? I like that one. "Quit ye like men," grow up. Be a man. That's what it means, basically. You know, stand up, wake up, stand up, grow up. But all that needs to be tempered with love. It all needs to funnel down in love. It needs to be about love. Why do I stand? Well, I stand because the love of Christ constraineth me. Love is not weak. Again, he says, "Quit ye like men, be strong." We did a study, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, because 1 Corinthians 13 defines love for us. We just did that study, it hasn't been too long ago. And so there Paul defines love in many different ways. He says, verse 4 of chapter 13, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." Charity never faileth. Paul defines for us what love is, and that we're to serve in love, do all things in love. People cannot understand love without seeing God. In other words, God the Father taught us love by sending His Son. Amen? And then God's Son taught us to love by sacrificing Himself on Calvary. And then the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. Romans chapter 5, 5. So the Holy Spirit shreds that love abroad in our hearts. Why can we love the unlovable? Because the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do that. Why can we love our enemies? The natural person can't understand and love their enemies, but a Christian can. You say, well, preacher, but a Christian can through the Holy Spirit. We can love our enemies. The world has polluted love, the meaning of love. And we know that, and I've preached it so many times, but that love is basically selflessness when it comes right down to it. It's what Paul said in Romans. Being selfless, treating everyone as you would want to be treated. We must stop allowing the world to define and influence our definition of love. Love. It's interesting that the command to act in love and follows the command to be strong. Be quit ye like men. It follows it. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says to Timothy, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Does power and love go together, you know? Think about being powerful and then loving. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. How can you speak of power and love at the same time? How can we show strength, power, and love together? They are not mutually exclusive. All virtues of the Christian life are under the umbrella of love. 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all your things be done with charity. And why are we to do everything in love? This is what I was trying to get to. Why are we to do everything in love? Because everything is useless without love. It really is. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, this is Paul speaking now, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Love is the key. Love is the key. Love is the key to service. Love is the key to giving to the poor. Love is the key. It ought to be our motivation. Again, I could preach eloquently like Dr. A.V. Henderson used to, but if I don't love, it's meaningless. Again, I like this. Somebody has said, the acid test of a genuine Christianity is not language, it's love. Amen. Preaching, witnessing, singing, it's all noise without love. Again, I know I preach a lot on the other subjects, so tonight we're saying, let's remember when the preacher gets up and says, all right, now, Jesus said for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The motivation for that should be the love of Christ that constraineth us. Again, we know that the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Love edifieth. It builds up. Again, people know if you care, or eventually they will. A person may have a tremendous grasp of the Scripture and the deep things of God, but if there is no love, it adds up to nothing. Again, we're to grow in grace and knowledge, absolutely. But knowledge without love produces what? Pharisees. I don't know how many times that I've seen someone come to the Lord or maybe get to the position where they say, you know, I want to go further in my Christianity. I want to learn more. And they began to study. And as they begin to study, and they just study and study and study and study, but there's zero application. By that I mean, they study, they go to Bible studies, they do this, but they don't go visiting. You know, there's no outlet. They're not applying what they're learning. And eventually what happens, if you are learning, learning, and learning, knowledge puffeth up. There should be an outlet source for that knowledge. Or you just kind of swell up like the little kid on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I don't know why that came to my mind, but it did. You know, and start. No, that's what happens. And by the way, somebody will come along and bust your bubble too. And it may be the Lord. Knowledge puffeth up. It produces Pharisees. So you got to be careful. You know, the Pharisees knew the Bible. They had the first five books memorized. They did all the religious rituals. They were, you know, they did everything, book, chapter, and verse. But they didn't have love. They didn't have love. Well, we need to be careful, don't we? We can have all our ducks in a row. We can have all doctrine right. And we do. I believe that. I wouldn't be a Baptist if I didn't believe our doctrine didn't follow the Word of God right on the money, right? But we need to be careful. We can have everything right. We can have all our doctrine right. We can have all our standards right. You know, and we can have all our T's crossed and everything done right. And we could become Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees look down upon the publicans. I'm glad I'm not like this publican, you know. We need to be careful, don't we? And what keeps us from doing that? Love. Love for other people. It's when we look at someone, instead of defining who they are by how they look, that we look at them with compassion. The compassion that Jesus Christ had towards those he came in contact with. Again, I always like to remind us that just because somebody looks a little different doesn't mean they don't need the love of Jesus, amen? And because they don't live quite like we do, we need to reach out. But we need to reach out in love. Apart from love, all that I do will be a waste of energy and will lead to nothing. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. Again, I believe one day we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema Seat Judgment, as Christians. I'm looking for the trumpet to sound. Amen? If it sounded tonight, we would stand before Christ, and as Christians, we would give an account for our works, whether they be good or bad. And when we stand before Him, we're not going to give an account for our sins. We're saved. Our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. But we will stand before Him and give an account for what we've done. Our works, whether they be good or bad. And I believe, by definition, that means it really comes down to motivation. Why am I singing? Why am I preaching? Why am I going on visitation? Why am I teaching this class? You know, why am I talking to my next door neighbor? Is it so I can go back and tell somebody, hey, I witnessed to my next door neighbor, you know? What is the motivation behind it? And if it's for the glory of God and it's out of love, then you'll receive gold and silver and precious stones. If it's the motivation was selfish and for your own glory, then those rewards will be burned up. I believe that's what we do when we get to heaven. And you say, well, okay, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. No. Don't forget. The tears aren't wiped away until after the great white throne judgment. Amen? At the way down the line. The end of millennial kingdom. So we will stand before Jesus. And we will be sorrowful. And there will be emotions there. And we will experience regret. We need to be about the Father's business, but we need to do so in love. Again, the church cannot function without love. The church at Corinth had become very ineffective. Why? Why? You know, the book of Corinthians has been called the book of corrections. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, correcting them. Well, they become dysfunctional because they had divided into groups. They were suing one another in court. They were judging one another according to preferences. They were arguing about spiritual gifts and on and on and on and on. And this letter was written to direct them and correct them. Can I just remind you tonight, love is essential to the church. Somebody has said, love is the circulatory system in the body of Christ. I thought that's pretty cool. That's a good one. It's not in your Bible. You can't underline it, but 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We use that all the time, don't we? And it's absolutely true. Love hides a multitude of sins. It's amazing how much we'll overlook if we love somebody. All of us have quirks. All of us have things that get on each other's nerves. All of us you know, to a certain extent have some personality clash. But listen, love will hide a lot of that. If you love that person, love will hide a lot of it. Jonathan Swift said, we have just enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to make us love one another. As Christians, if we are not loving the brethren and the Lord, then how are we going to love the lost? The church without love is nothing. Nothing. I'm thankful that God has given us the Holy Spirit. It's possible to possess great gifts without love. A person might possess goodness without love. You could be a good person and not love. Right? We have the welfare state, where aid is handed out, but not a lot of love. Right? And that's a whole other subject. 1 Corinthians 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love, and Christ is the incarnation of that love. It is only in Christ that the world has seen a manifestation of love. The love of God is in the believer. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So the Lord has bestowed upon us the love. A child of God has the nature of God within him, the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of Christ is here. It's been given to us. We can not only express godly love with the Holy Spirit fills us and controls us. You know, the only way for us to express love is if the Holy Spirit is filling us with His Spirit. And then love endures. 1 Corinthians 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. We will see our Savior face to face and realize that love of God has done for us. I got this message from somebody else. It was preached here in the last week or so, and I was so impressed with it. I've been studying, and I know it doesn't come the same across if it's not in my words, and I know some of it wasn't. And so I've been preparing a message on servant leadership and so forth, and I love Paul Chappell has some good books on servant leader and how to be that, and we ought to be servants, and in order to be a leader, you need to be a servant, right? That's what Jesus was. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Amen? And so that's what we should do. And then after hearing the message, I was reminded again that we can be leaders and we can be teachers and we can do all these things. But if love is not the motivation, then it's nothing. We need to go back and look and say, do I love my class? Do I love my kids? You know, do I love those I'm teaching to? And am I praying for them? Am I doing for them? Is my motivation right? Because if you love them, you will stay consistent. If you love them, you will read your Bible and pray. If you love them, all those things will come into place. But if you're not if you're serving because it's a command, then it'll break down eventually. When the storm comes, if you're not serving because of love, it will break down. And you won't be teaching that class anymore. I witness it personally. If love is not your motivation, what do? When that storm really comes, now maybe you'll make it through a couple of the little ones, but when the big one comes, because the devil hates you, remember that? The devil hates your guts. When the big one comes, motivation better be right. Better be serving because you love them. We need to serve out of love. I love this illustration. Two men were looking for an explanation of the love of God. One man explained it this way, and I've explained it this way, but maybe this is a little better. When I go home, he says, I will take my baby on my knee, look into her sweet eyes, and listen to her charming prattle, you know, the little jibber-jabber. And as tired as I am, her presence will rest me, for I love that child with all the tenderness of my heart. But she loves me little. If my heart was breaking, it would not disturb her sleep. If my body were racked with pain, It would not interrupt her play. If I were dead, she would forget me in a few days. Besides this, she's never brought me a penny, but has been a constant expense to me. I'm not rich, but there's not enough money in the world to buy my baby. How is that? Does she love me, or do I love her? Do I withhold my love until she loves me? Am I waiting for her to do something worthy of my love before I extend it? No, absolutely not. Your child, you love them. And let's be reminded tonight that God loves you the same way. Listen, he didn't get a bargain when he got me, but I sure got a bargain when I got him. And he loves me. By the way, he loved me first. He loved me first. I'm so thankful for that. Let's all stand. Hymn 351, how is your motives tonight? How is your motives tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for the love that you've given us, and help us, Lord, to share that love with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 351, wherever he leads, I'll go.